Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bert Show.
I learned my lesson months and months and months ago. Do you remember when Stacey and I had that big fight on the radio when she wanted to do the baby shower thing?
Couples baby shower thing.
And I just am adamantly against those things.
Right. Right.
Like, adamantly against a guy, like a woman making their man go to something like that because we have no interest in it at all, right? I mean, adamantly against it. But she wanted to do that when Hollis was born. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. I can't ask my friends to do this. No way. No couple shower for a baby. No guy wants to do that. Please don't put my friends through that. Well, we got in a big old argument about it, and it brewed on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned from that is that that day right there for her was so much more important to me, I mean to her, than it was for me, that I just should have shut up. You know, I just should have, like,
one of those give and take things.
You know, that's
mean something to her.
It
be
was
supportive,
really important to her. So I just should have, in the beginning, just said, "Let's just do it."
Mm-hmm.
So I learned my lesson there, and we've got another one coming up this weekend.
Okay.
So Hollis is turning 1 year old, and Stacey wants to throw this big old blowout for him. 1 year old. And I've always been one of those people that think that parties for 1 year olds are ridiculous.
Now, did Hayden have one?
You know how my memory is.
Sure he did.
I'm sure he did.
I also know how Stacey is.
And yeah, the
big
way
old
Stacey
blowout
is, man.
For Hayden, too, I'm sure.
He grew up in family that celebrate these family-type things. But I've seen the kind of celebration that we're looking at this weekend that I've always looked at and gone, well, it's not going to happen in my house.
Now
it's happening in my house.
How's that working out for you?
So it's like, you know, she's hired this company to come on over, and there's a whole bunch of kids coming over, and adults are coming over. It's going to be a major blowout. It is encompassing two homes together. We are opening the fence between our house and our neighbor Mike's house, who's the best guy in the world. There's a pool over there. And
are you going to have a moonwalk?
She's bringing in the whole deal.
Nice.
She's bringing in the deal.
Sorry.
For a one-year-old.
For a
no,
one-year-old.
Go ahead. Say what you want.
Well, I mean,
because I had the same
feelings
you do.
Because I don't want to be disrespectful, but I mean, the celebration should be for the one-year-old, and who's not going to remember? I mean, to me, you get two cakes. You get the one cake for the family to celebrate, and then the other cake is for Hollis to rip right through it and make a mess.
Now, there are some side parties also, like my mom's birthday is coming up also, so we're sort of like
mixing them all together,
but the gist of it really is the party for our one-year-old Hollis. I have the same kind of thought that you do.
Mm-hmm.
But I've realized this is important to Stacey. So for my reasons of being uncomfortable during putting on a party like this are inconsequential.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to Stacey. That's what she wants. So she's hiring this company to come on in, and it's going to be bells and whistles and moonwalks, and
nice.
it's going to be crazy, right?
Wow.
It's going to be.
I want to walk on the moonwalk.
You're one of those families.
I want to jump on the moonwalk.
I am in one of those families.
Here's
the thing, though.
Is that she did it for Hayden. I mean, if Hayden had it, she wants her second son to have the same thing.
Well, I agree with that.
Well, this
she
one
wouldn't
is,
want to short him.
I'll tell you, this one is going to be, if we had one for Hayden for his first birthday, it's nothing like this one's going to be.
It was dress rehearsal for Hollis.
They are bringing in a company to do, she's
finally
hiring
the
somebody.
Younger kid
Dude,
gets the bigger party.
I know you've probably been told this
now
a
you support
lot
it.
Stacey,
now I support it.
You might want to get a part-time job.
I know. And I've
like, you think the first birthday party, what about like 16.
Yeah.
When they each get their brand new Range Rover.
I hope not.
Hummer.
Gosh.
Well, whatever's big then.
What?
They're going to be driving Hummers.
Oh. No, we won't be that family. I mean, at some point, I'm going to go, look, enough is enough. But this is important to her. So if it's just a big party with moon bounces and all that for a one-year-old who won't remember it, it's okay. That's what she wants to do.
Okay.
So here really is my etiquette question, and I sort of brought it up to you guys earlier this morning, is that when I didn't have kids and I would get invited to parties like this for children, I didn't want to be there. It was 4 hours of torture. But we were invited, and you wanted to show respect to your friend who has a child, so you would go and attend. Right. So I have always been on the fence about inviting to you guys to stuff like this. And I haven't on this one, but I want to invite you, knowing that it's okay.
And Jen's already there because she's been excited about the moonwalk since you mentioned it.
I want you guys, I'm not exactly sure what protocol is here. Like, I don't want you to feel pressured into going.
Obligated.
But I also don't want you to think I don't want you there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So my friend, I want you there knowing that you're going to be bored.
Well,
Jason sent out a really cool thing with the invite.
Yeah, it was cute.
It was a letter. It was photocopied. It was typed, and he hand-signed it, but it basically said, all right, here's the deal to my friends without kids and my single guy friends who my wife made me send this invite to. You're invited to this because it's a party and we want to celebrate any occasion with the people that we love. But it's also a 5-year-old's birthday party. So there's going to be a bunch of ankle biters running around being pains in the ass. So if you want to attend, that's great. The recommended gift price range is $20 to $30. If you don't want to attend, increase your gift price range by $20 and we'll forgive you. Also, afterwards, I'm going out for beer and stronger drinks at such and such a place. And you guys are all welcome to meet me there. Thanks a lot, Jason. And it was real, like, it was written so tongue in cheek. That, I mean, I'm sure there's some people who read it and took offense to it because they thought, that, you know, the dollar. But if you knew him, it was written so tongue-in-cheek and it was so funny that you're like, that's cool. And you knew it was even going to be a fun party. So everybody just kind of went anyways. And they could go with the excuse of, well, you know, I didn't want to get stuck for paying the more expensive gift. And everybody went at the end of the party and then left with him. And they actually went to Rio Grande and sat on the patio.
Like, I think most parents are, well, no, I don't want to say that. What were you going to say?
No, say it. No, you say it.
No, I was going to say.
Some
parents, I think that there's a consciousness there that you should invite everybody. But I know that there's this weird, like, if I don't go, they're going to see it as a sign of disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do go, I'm going to be bored out of my mind for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to let you all know you're invited.
Sweet.
I'll bring in formal invitations for you tomorrow. If you don't come, I understand. It's cool. Right here.
Any hot single guys?
Yeah, us.
that are over the age of one.
Oh, okay. You're going to be picky. All of a sudden, your single girl is going to be all particular about who we introduce her to.
It was a 43-year-old guy yesterday, and it's a 1-year-old today.
Oh, man.
Hey, Amanda, good morning. You're on Q100.
She's kind of in between. Her age is right in between the two of them.
If she averages 24, she's doing great.
Okay, you
go
think
ahead.
About this. Okay, this is your child. It should be important, too. Don't be like your dad.
Oh,
don't wait.
Yeah, where did that come from?
What the hell?
Like, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, what the hell?
I wouldn't say no party, but what I would
hell?
Say
what
is more of a.
Sub- listeners?
See, your kid's going to grow up just thinking,
what?
Oh, my dad don't care.
That is not what
I'm
saying.
He's not going to know what's going on. I'm sorry.
It's a birthday party for your one-year-old. You should be celebrating that God gave you that year. But instead, you're wanting to whine and complain about it, and that's wrong.
Let her go.
Okay, what? Should I just let it go?
Just let it go.
Let it go.
Hey, hold on. I just want to. Oh my gosh.
Just let it go. Because she was trying to be critical for no reason.
Is there something I didn't relate? Did I relate something improperly to you? No. Like, I'm not.
No,
I'm not for not celebrating the party, but the over the top 1 year old party to me is just. It would not be something that I would do.
She brought up your dad. Damn.
Well, she was obviously trying to call Hannity yesterday to bitch about Hillary Clinton and couldn't get through.
Mm.
So she just had that anger, and she's like, I'm calling some radio show. I don't know what it is.
I just don't think that she really listened to what you were saying, because you were talking about the etiquette of inviting friends that don't have kids. Your friends with kids are coming over, and they're bringing the whole family, and
yes.
You guys are going to bounce on the hippity-hops.
Absolutely.
Everybody's going to have a great time. Your question was about inviting friends who don't have children, and would they feel obligated? I don't think she really listened
to you. No,
that's
not what
well,
I heard.
Now,
I heard
the
her
thing.
Listen.
Yeah,
she sounded sweet and kind.
No, here's the thing. Bird talks about a party for Hollis or an over-the-top party.
Right.
She could call in with a comment, but she decided to do an over-the-top comment.
There you go. All right, so she's in the same position.
Yes.
Good morning, Chandra. You're on Q100.
Hi, Bird.
Hey.
I just had my son's first birthday party this past weekend,
mm-hmm.
and we invited everyone. And I told my friends who don't have children that I've been there, done that. Don't have to come. I totally understand if you don't. I will not be hurt at all. I know you love me, and I know you love my kid. But spending your Saturday afternoon, evening at a birthday party with one-year-olds up to, like, six-year-olds is not everybody's cup of tea.
Exactly.
So don't feel bad. No gift. No problem. Don't come. I'm not hurt at all. because it was 65 people, like, 25 kids. It was crazy. And I had a friend, a coworker, and a good friend who said, you know, I really have some other stuff to do. I was like, no problem, dude. I understand.
I do feel like you'd have to get the flu vaccine before going over there.
Yeah, there's going to be some snot flung for sure.
Yeah.
Well, he talks about
creep me out a little bit.
He talks about the etiquette, and Katie is screaming in her radio right now, take the invitation! There's children there! Well, no, I want to be there!
Don't be your dad!
Just for Katie Joe's sake, when Bert was talking about inviting you all, he was referring to the interns because he knows that we're all busy this weekend.
Do you want to be there?
I'm out of town this weekend, though.
What a lucky break.
I mean, literally I am, but Katie's probably going, now we can change our plans because there's going to be children running around everywhere. This is going to be awesome.
Hey, Angela, you're on Q100. Good morning.
Good morning, Bert.
Good morning.
I just want to thank you as a person in the business, in the party entertainment business, children's entertainment business. I want to thank you for allowing Stacy to do this blowout. Parents like you keep us in business.
I know we do. What's the most expensive party that you
Dude,
have
your
ever
wife
thrown?
Is too competitive that you do not want her to know the answer to this.
For somebody under the age of 5 years old.
Oh, majority of my larger dollar clients are under five. And again, I do a specially niche type entertainment. I don't do the whole gig. I've had an $1,100 job. I do pony rides and petting zoos. And $1,100 for a one-hour pony and petting zoo is my top line.
$1,100? Oh, I've heard of them going way more.
Was she saying
that
she just has one niche service within the big party?
The overall grand total of a party like that would probably be what, five?
Some could go even higher than that.
She's
$10,000, I think.
$10,000 for a one-year-old?
Yes, man.
Oh, stop it. I'm going to throw up.
Me too.
The Bert Show.
I think we've talked about this before. Like, when you get this close to the wedding, like, it's really tough to tell what's cold feet and what's, oh my God, I'm about to make the biggest mistake of my life. I know this person is wrong for me. And what was our defining point?
I don't know what the defining point was, but I know a couple of women who walked down the aisle and they knew on that day that they shouldn't have been doing it.
But like, doesn't every, I mean, not everybody, but don't most people you think just have like, am I sure I want to do this? Am I sure I want to do this? And that line between cold feet and
we did have
really
a
having a gut feeling that this is never going to work. I shouldn't do it. It's such a fine line that day.
Because didn't you call your ex that day?
I did. Mm-hmm. I was really, really nervous all the way up to like I walked down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know because you're so close to getting married and it's such a big deal and you've got so many thoughts going through your head and you can't make sense of any of it.
It's all the pressure of all the families coming in and everybody, you know, all the hoopla surrounding it all.
And Brenda might be in the same place. She's on The Voice Disguiser right now. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. We don't want to give away too many details here because obviously even the thought probably will be offensive to the guy you're going to marry.
Right.
But yes, what's going through your head and when are you supposed to get married?
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah, tomorrow. Tonight around 6-ish we have the rehearsal, and then rehearsal dinner around 7:30. So, and it's not, for me, I feel like it's not cold feet. I just don't know what to do because now everything, it's about to happen. You know, people are flying in. People have already come in from California, from New York. It's just, I mean, it's not a small little ceremony. We're having a you know, just pretty good sized wedding. We've spent thousands of dollars. You know, everyone in my family's involved. It's just, I'm really overwhelmed because I know it's not just cold feet, and I started having a feeling, and I just didn't know how to get out of it.
When did the feeling of not wanting to do this start?
And around when, I guess, when he asked me, I was already like, oh, me, but this is a good time. This is a great guy. Why not? You know, it's time to settle down. But, you know, and I thought it was just me and my, wanting my independence, but it's not even that. It's just, I really don't think he's the right guy for me. Just little things, you know, with the traveling, I guess. I don't want to get too specific, but.
Now, how long were y'all engaged?
Haven't been a year yet.
So do you even know if you love him?
Oh, I do, but just now
not in love with him.
The rest of my life.
I love him, not in love with him.
I love him, and maybe a part of me is in love with him to date him for a while. Like, no. I think she's lost. Honest with myself, mm-hmm. No.
Actually, I think she's rocking in the corner of the rainbow.
Get on a bus to Albuquerque right now. Yeah. So as it stands now, though, the pressure to have everybody in town and here is way too great. So you don't even think that even if you wanted to, you could bail at this point.
I don't know what to do. I mean, I can see why brides run away now. I feel like running away. But a part of me is like, you know what, just go through with it. Just go through with it and then figure it out later.
What's socially, I'm curious, you guys. I mean, not that it should have any bearing on your decision at all, but is there more of a stigma attached on the bride that bails on the very last minute when the whole family is there, invitations are out, everybody flies into town and you bail right before the wedding? Is there more of a stigma attached with that than there is getting a divorce after 2 months?
God, both of them are pretty scandalous.
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, as much drama as might take place, as much hurt as takes place, I always think it would be better to do it before the ceremony.
Definitely.
I think I would have more of a judgment call of 2 months after than I would if somebody said, you know what, I don't think we should go through with this. Because to me, more thought would have been put into place beforehand than right after.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. I see, this is the thing. I don't want, you know, things wasted, you know, people's time, people's money.
But this is your life. This is your life.
So to me,
in your marriage,
if they don't really have knowledge, you know, then I just go through with it and then later go, oh my gosh, I tried to work it out. And I don't want to make it seem like I premeditated, knew, and everyone's like, wait a minute, you already had this feeling? You know, I want it to be like, wow, I tried and it didn't work out. That's, I feel like, is the least, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to do.
Hold on a sec, Brenda. Hold on.
She's rocking again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Should you have anybody else crazy?
Yes.
I think she's just nervous.
Yeah.
Hey, Karen, you're on Q100.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Brenda.
Brenda, you still
there?
There you go.
So I had that feeling before my wedding, and that was 10 years ago, and I'm now in the process of getting a very contentious divorce with 3 small children.
But what's the difference? Like, how do you know the difference between cold feet
3 small children
and that's just not the right guy and I should have never done this?
I think the difference is if it's immediately before the ceremony, if it's the overwhelming pressure of all the people in town, if it's all the rigmarole that goes with it, if it's the ceremony and the dinner and, oh my gosh, I think that's just cold feet. That's butterflies. Mine was, in the months leading up to the marriage, it was little question marks in my mind, not the man for me. But I was where she was, and I said, well, I committed to doing this. After I got married, I knew it was wrong. But again, I had committed to doing it, and you don't get married to get divorced. And I stuck with it for a long time. So maybe the difference is, are you getting nervous about it now, or were you nervous about it 6 months ago?
I had, like you said, I think the most perfect way to describe it, little question marks in my head. That's how it felt for a while.
Then in her opinion.
Yeah. And she's got 3 small children she has to explain a divorce to.
Hey, Sarah, you're on Q100.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, hon. I understand you're probably just overwrought, but I do want to tell you that before my wedding, I had a bunch of family fly in too, and every single person in my family, I know that you said you're close to them, and every single person came upstairs and told me before my wedding, if I didn't want to get married, then I didn't have to. It didn't matter how much money we had spent. They just didn't want me to make the wrong decision and have to deal with that for the rest of my life. So I think that your family is definitely going to understand. If you don't want to do this, don't do it.
Did you decide not to get married?
No, I did. I did get married. I was very much in love with my husband, so that wasn't even an issue for me. But, you know, it's just the matter of having that support around you and your family unit being there for you no matter what decision you make. It doesn't matter if you're an hour away from walking down the aisle. If you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, for your friends and your family, if you bail last minute, is it a pain in the ass? Oh, yeah. Did they waste some money? Oh, yeah. But that stuff's temporary.
Are people going to talk about you?
Oh, yeah. But that stuff's temporary. You're talking about the rest of your life here.
And they can have a party. I mean, you could still have a reception that would be a, you know, make it a family reunion or something.
And another thought I had is you don't want to, I mean, he obviously loves you and wanted to marry you, and you don't want to return the favor by saying, I want you to now be labeled a divorced man. Like, it's one thing to be divorced in a relationship that you really were a part of and really wanted to be a part of and really tried to make it work and it didn't work out. So then you understand. But if it's something where, like, I had a friend in high school that I still, every time this comes up, I think of him because they did get divorced 2 months after they got married. Mm. And they were in their 20s. And then we all said, you know, now he's a divorced guy from a woman. And it wasn't even a wedding that he had a lot of time to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's unfair to him. I mean, he'll be hurt now, but I think it'll affect him far more if you went, go ahead and get married and then you're planning your divorce in the back of your mind.
Right. All right, if you got that contingency plan
and
you've got that on your mind already, it's probably not a great decision.
Yeah.
Just curious, if you do call off the wedding, who are you going to tell first? Him?
I mean, I've thought about this too, and I've played it out in my head, and the last caller was so sweet, and she's right because I do have a close family, but I mean, I like his family too. They're really nice.
So who are you going to tell first?
I would tell my mom first.
Okay. You
know? Mom first.
And then I would tell him. You know, well, I guess I should tell him first. But I'd be kind of scared.
She's rocking
probably,
again.
I think
mom is the most realistic answer because you're afraid to tell him, even though you should tell him first, but I think I'd probably.
But most are calling up saying, look, if you are having these thoughts and you've been having them for months, then bail now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. But honestly, like, I feel like, we can just kind of go through. I care about him a lot. We could have what everyone wants, you know.
Are you supposed to go on a honeymoon?
No, we're supposed to leave a week later, actually, following weekend.
Okay, well, let's check back with you on Monday. Okay,
she's still talking.
I'll put her on hold.
Where are you guys going on your honeymoon?
I was just asking for logistics.
Tracy can handle that between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. Sunday night.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm a girl. I plan ahead. I think of those things. If we're going to talk to her on Monday, I need to know if she's going to be on a freaking honeymoon or not.
Lord have mercy.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Michelle Wiener Davis can help you out. She wrote a book called Sex Starved Marriages. And I think this has been defined by marriages in which people have sex less than 12 times a year. I think it was once every 6 weeks is what we said.
Yep. Right? But wasn't 1 in 5 marriages fall under that category or something like that? Like, if you are embarrassed by it, you should, I mean, go ahead and call. Like Bert said, we have the voice disguiser, but you're not alone because a lot of marriages are in the same category.
That seems like a crazy number to me. That really does. But if you
we talk about it mostly being couples with small children, too?
Oh, we'll have to ask you.
Several small kids in the house. I'm sure that makes it harder.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, thank you.
No
I mean, the last time we talked to you, the phone lines lit up and we didn't get to all the questions that we needed to get to. So we're going to try to start lining them up right now also. But Jen raises an interesting point. Is a sex-starved marriage more for people that have kids, or does it not matter?
It's a great question. It does not matter. In fact, one of the things that's been most surprising to me in terms of my work with couples and the research that we did with Red Book Magazine is that there are a lot of people who are in their early 20s, and there are people in their 30s without children, who, of course, whose children have left home and they're empty nesters and they're having difficulty. You'd think that that would be a chance for a second honeymoon. But, you know, the truth is that low sexual desire in either spouse can hit a marriage at any point in their life transition. So it's not, of course, you know, having had two children of my own, I can say firsthand, it makes it difficult, especially when there's an infant or toddlers around. I mean, when there are infants around, of course, women are going through major hormonal changes, which makes sex not all that attractive. And when they're little, they're so demanding. So I don't want to underplay or minimize the impact that children have on adults' lives. And when they're knocking on the door or just opening the door and you have no, you know, privacy, I don't want to minimize that. But, you know, the truth is, in the words of a famous philosopher, Rosanna Dana, there's always something.
Yeah.
And, you know, in order for marriage to keep passion alive, couples, regardless of whether they have children or not, have to take sex off the back burner and really make it a priority. And if they have to schedule time where they know they're going to be alone.
Let's talk about that for a second before I get to Sarah's call here, is that I think a lot of people say if you schedule sex, it really kind of takes, like, I don't know, well, obviously it takes a spontaneity out of it, but it also takes a specialness out of it. How do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, it's great. You know, a lot of couples tell me sex was great when they were spontaneous, and that always means before children, or at least almost always. But what I say, you know, if you have children and you have to plan it, I call it planned spontaneity. You know it's a time when you're going to be alone and you're going to have privacy. And what you do within that time frame is totally up to you. You can be creative. You can try new things. And so, you know, yes, it would be ideal if you could just have sex at the drop of the hat in the living room if you'd like.
Mm.
But, you know, life isn't like that. If you're going to sit around and mourn the fact that it's over, you're going to lose a lot of opportunities to really connect physically.
All right, let's take your first call here. 404-741-Q100. Good morning, Sarah. You're on with Michelle Wiener-Davis from Sex Starved Marriage.
Hi.
Good morning.
I'm calling.
Hold on.
I have an issue where I'm the one not interested. Where my husband, he wants it every day, and I could live without it. And I wanted to see, is there a medication or something?
I'm 29. You know, before, I hear that, and by the way, I want you to know that this is such a popular and common issue. I recently wrote a post on a blog for Psychology Today about sex-starved marriages, and it was so popular that it was picked up by the Huffington Post. And apparently, you know, it's just making the rounds because it seems that most couples have an issue with a sexual desire gap at some point in their marriage. And so, first of all, I want you to know it's very common. Secondly, before you run off and start taking medication for this, I mean, you really need to ask yourself, whether it's a time in your marriage where you felt more sexual, where you felt more alive physically, and if so, you know, what were those times? And so first of all, let me ask you that question. Was there a time in your marriage where you felt more sexual?
No, not really.
Oh, not really.
I've never, we have two kids, and no, I've just never been interested, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I just, well, you know, I do it because he wants me to do it, but it's still only like once every 2 or 3 months. And I'm thinking, please hurry up.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, that is not great. Well, I can't really speak to you, and I don't want to ask you a whole lot of personal questions over the air. But, you know, first of all, you know, sometimes women in who feel the way that you do so because their husbands don't really know their bodies, and that couples very rarely talk enough about sex and what turns them on and what feels good. And sometimes that happens because people don't know their own bodies. Women seem to be more guilty of this than men. And so the first thing I would suggest to you is that make some time to get to know your own body and what turns you on and what gives you an orgasm so that you can coach your husband as to what makes you feel good. The second thing is that sometimes people in your shoes have had difficult growing up experiences, tough times in their family. Sometimes there's been sexual abuse, and that's really turned them off to sex altogether. And if that's been true in your situation, what I really want to urge you to do is to go get some professional help and so that you can begin to talk about that. But, you know, sometimes people really just are not interested in sex, and they don't need to run out and do medication. They tell me that they have low sexual desire. And again, this may or may not be true for you, but I think I last time I was on the air that I wish I had a dollar for each time someone said to me, I'm not in the mood for sex when my husband approaches me, but once we get started, I really enjoy it. It feels great. And so for those women, I really suggest that they adopt the Nike philosophy and just do it. Because for a lot of people, in order to feel really turned on, they just have to be physically stimulated. They're not going to be sitting around having this really random, lusty thought like their spouses might, that they have to get going. And once they do, they really have a good time. So, again, I don't know if that's you, but if you do, if this lingers before your husband decides that he's going to have an affair or wanting to dissolve your relationship, because you have two kids, I can't say strongly enough that you need to get some help so that your sexual relationship becomes better. It's very important.
All right, here is Carrie. She's on The Voice Disguiser. Go ahead, Carrie.
Hi. Actually, my role's a reverse. I'm actually older than my husband by 5 years, and he's just not into sex at all. And we haven't had sex in over a year, and we got married in October and still haven't consummated our marriage.
You haven't had sex since you got married?
What?
Wow. Wow.
Haven't consummated your marriage?
No.
Whoa.
Well, first of all, what I want you to do is, and then the reason that I'm on this show this morning is I wrote a book called The Sex-Starved Wife. And believe it or not, there are people listening to me right now thinking there is no such thing as a sex-starved wife. And if there is a woman who doesn't like sex, it must mean that she's incredibly unattractive or that she nags all the time. And I am here to tell everybody that that is simply not so. Yes, it's true that sometimes women let themselves go or that sometimes women get critical. And oftentimes women get critical because they're feeling so rejected, which I'm certain is something that you're feeling after a year. And it comes out in not positive ways. But I also want to tell people that there are millions and millions of relationships out there where the husband simply doesn't want sex. Now, the fact that you haven't consummated your marriage really indicates to me that he has got some sort of issue. You don't need a degree in psychology to know that, that there's something going on with him. And I wonder, first of all, have you talked with him about your concerns?
Oh, yeah, we've talked. We've had fights. There was a book that was called Sex Starved Marriage that I bought. I mean, and he refused to read it.
That's her, you know, that's her book. You're talking to the author of that movie, or that book right now.
Yeah, I read it, and I tried to do all the things, you know, about not pushing and everything, but he wouldn't even read the book.
Uh-huh. And what's the reason that he gives you for not wanting to have sex?
Because he likes her brother.
I've even asked that question. I'm like, I would rather you just tell me, you know, if you're...
What does he say? Right, what does
he
say?
Well, we've got a son, you know, so we've actually, we've had sex, but it just kept dwindling, and, you know, and I'm... My personality, I've always been extremely active, and it's very hard for me, you know, it's not my personality.
So let me ask you this. You're new into your marriage. I take it you don't have children?
No, we do.
We've
been together 4 years. We have a four-year-old.
So, okay, you've been together 4 years and married for one?
No, we just got married in October.
Oh, okay. Well, here's what... You know, you got to get tough with this guy, and you need to tell him that he either has to go to a doctor or to a therapist with you, or you're out the door. Because I have a feeling he does not want a divorce. I mean, you sound like a pretty nice person, and my guess is he probably, for whatever reason, he's not wanting to confront this issue. He's thinking that you're going to be here no matter what. And I don't know what's going on with him. He's not on the phone. For all I know, he's feeling overwhelmed with the responsibility of having a four-year-old. I don't know whether... Is he working?
No, he's a stay-at-home dad. Luckily, I do well enough that I support us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he's got a pretty easy life, it sounds like. Not to say that staying home with a four-year-old is easy work, because it's not. But
But see, my mom lives with us, too, and so my mom really takes care of my son. My husband gets to do whatever he wants.
Okay, time for you to toughen up, girl. You know, you don't, it sounds like you're treating him like a mother, and mothers aren't very sexy. Treat him like he's your equal and start giving him some expectations that if he doesn't fulfill, he's out the door.
Hey, Karen, in the interest of time, I got to take one more call, so we got to move on.
Thank you.
Okay. Wish we had more time to spend with her.
Yes.
What if one of these days, would it be too, like, edgy to have an actual married couple on to talk to you about this and actually hear the whole session go on? Is that unethical?
I'd be happy to do that if they're willing to, and I think a lot of people are eager to get help. I'd be happy to do that.
I think the person who's less interested is going to have a harder time, right?
Yes. Yeah, and I think
except for the fact that women who are less interested are much more cooperative than men.
Right.
I bet you don't have a single low-desire man hanging on the line to talk.
No,
if you do, they're asking for their voice to be disguised.
No, there is not one man, not one.
Yep.
All right, one more call here. It's all we're going to have time for, and we only have a couple of minutes, but I did want to get you in, Pam. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi, I'm in my late 20s, and my husband's in his mid-30s, and we've been married less than a year, and we are what you call, we're in a sexless marriage. We have sex maybe once a month, and it's initiated by me, and I'm to the point where I'm so tired of initiating it and being turned down that I'm to the point where I'm ready to resolve the relationship. We have no children. We have no issues, no problems. We both make plenty of money. We have everything we want in life. You know, I don't know what the answer is. I've even sat down and asked him, what turns you on? What can I do? I'll do anything. You know, what turns you on? Nothing turns him on. Nothing. And I'm not a bad-looking girl. So, you know, I'm to the point where I don't know what's left to do.
Oh, you can hear the rejection she feels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm delighted that you're calling in, first of all, because, again, another example of a woman who is the person who has higher sexual desire, and therefore, you know, I first of all, go and get the book, The Sex-Starved Wife, and you know, there's this first chapter of the book, The Sex-Starved Wife or The Sex-Starved Marriage, is on my website, divorcebusting.com, and you can find out information there. I first of all, I wonder, have you asked him to go get some help with you?
Yeah, we were simply about 4 months ago where I said, you know, I'm ready to leave you. I'm ready for a divorce. You know, and his response was, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. You're not the first person that's ever told me that.
Oh, boy.
Let me ask you,
in your heart of hearts, do you think he's wanting a divorce or willing to get a divorce?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
In your heart of hearts, do you really believe that he wants a divorce?
No, I don't think he wants a divorce at all. And
okay.
I really don't either. But I can't continue to go on this way.
Right.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Now, first, you know, a lot of times, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, but when women feel so rejected and so hurt, when they actually sit down and talk to their husbands about their feelings, what comes out is anger, frustration, and criticism. I'm wondering if you've ever approached him by telling him, you know, the truth is this isn't just a physical act. When we're not close physically, it makes me feel like you don't want me or you don't love me, and I feel like I'm not important to you. Have you shared with him your real sentiments?
Absolutely. I sat down after about a bottle of wine so that I wouldn't be so angry, and I said, you know, I'm not here to hurt your feelings. I'm not here to make you angry. I just want you to see how I feel and understand. You know, and for all those people out there listening that are on the other side, you're not just losing sex with your partner. You're losing intimacy. You're losing all of those feelings that go along with just not being a roommate.
Absolutely. You know, so many times the person with low desire thinks, what is the big deal? It's just sex. When in fact, it's much more than that. As I said, it's really about feeling close and feeling important. And so what I want to tell you two things. One is that ultimately you need to give him an ultimatum and get an appointment. Again, if you don't feel comfortable going in, because I know that you have your voice disguised, through my company or through my center, we have telephone coaching. And again, through divorcebusting.com, you can speak to a telephone coach who is really dedicated to helping you bring back the passion and keep your marriage together. So that's first of all. And second of all, so often women rely too heavily on words. I know I asked you, how did you speak with him? Did you share it with him in terms of what's going on in your heart? And it sounds like you have. And if that doesn't work, you have to stop talking and you have to take action. And if you're going to ask me what action, I need more time than we're going to have, but the action that you need to take is something you've never done before. And if you're home every night and you're predictable and you're making dinner for him and he knows that he can count on you and you're reliable and you're going to be there for him, you have to start not being so dependable and predictable. You need to make him wonder what's going on with you, because otherwise you're just like a doormat. And very often when women get through to men through action rather than words, and men start to wonder, what is she feeling? What is she thinking? I better start paying attention to her. I'm really missing her. I want her in my life. And that's when they start changing their behavior, when you talk less and act more.
Hey, Michelle, we got to take off. And the same thing happened this time that happened last time. People lined up to talk to you. So I hope we can do this again real soon.
I would love to do like Bert said with a couple, because it, you know, to get both sides of it, because it
sounds,
because so many people are angry as if the people with the lower desire are doing it on purpose. And I'm curious to hear the full conversation, and maybe it would heal a lot of relationships so that both sides are presented. Yeah.
Well, just have me on. I'll be your regular, and I'll fix those sex marriages.
We'd love it, because you're great. Again, the name of the book, Sex Starved Marriage, the Sex Starved Wife also. And the website, once again, is...
Divorcebusting.com?
Divorcebusting.com.
All right, Michelle, yes, we'd love to talk to you again in another couple of weeks.
Sounds great. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for joining. Bye-bye.
You're on The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.